You ready for the word?
Yeah.
I'm ready for the word. Let's get into Journey to the Nativity is what we've been doing. And we've talked about the weight that Mary and Joseph had on their journey. That's what we talked about last week. But even the week before that, we talked about the weight. It was 400 years between the Old Testament and the New. Can you imagine waiting 400 years for something? You can't, because you don't even live that long. But they were waiting for something from God. They knew that he went quiet, but not because he wasn't at work. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. And then last week was about the 90 miles, the journey. We're all on a journey. And we've all got things that we're believing for. And on that journey, maybe it pivots to the left or to the right, and you want to just go from A to B, and there's spikes in the road. But God's with you through that journey. Well, today let's set up what we're going to look at and have a look at the screen. If you want to hit the lights for us, make sure we've got the sound up for the video, that would be great.
Your family tree. It'll tell you a lot about what you're made of. Jesus' family was no different. Chock full of folks, much like this piece of cedar board here. Twisted, flawed, full of imperfections. People least likely to be picked out of the pile. You and me, we would not want any of these people on our family tree. So why would a perfect God choose imperfect people to tell a perfect love story? In Noah, he saw a righteous man, even though he knew he would succumb to drunkenness. He made Abraham the father of many nations, even though he lied about his own family. He gave Sarah the she laughed at God in disbelief. Rebecca deceived her husband, but God continued his covenant. Isaac stole his brother's birthright, but God blessed his lineage. Joseph was left for dead, but God made him a ruler. Judah lacked integrity, but God restored him. And Rahab was a prostitute, but God gave her faith. Hezekiah was imprudent. Samson lusted. Josiah waged war. David murdered. Then Solomon indulged. Jesus' family tree, full of flaws. Why? Because God can see the finished product in his children. God has a way of just gathering up all the broken pieces, even the ones that are convinced that they are forgettable, unseen, deplorable, far from perfect. And only like a loving father can, he looks at her and he says, "You, come on. We've got some work to do." And on that first Christmas, God made the announcement by hanging a star in the sky. A beacon, if you will, to all those that are hurting, feeling unworthy, broken. Come and find Jesus. And this Christmas, the message is still the same. So my friend, set your eyes on the star. God is calling you out of the night to let go of your past, to surrender the knotted life and the rough edges. God is making something new.
Pretty cool, Ian, that you talked about the star, a star of hope. You know, we all have a family tree, don't we? Relatives that have gone before us. Some of us come from magnificent trees, an incredible lineage. Incredible trees that have been firmly planted and stand tall when they provide shade and a nesting place for God's little birds, that kind of tree. But others of us come from mangled trees. That's kind of like my tree. That passers-by shield their eyes from. Oh, don't look at that mess. Either way, we've all got a family tree. We've all got a history. We've all got a past that we've come from. And the Gospels provide two different places to see Jesus' family tree. Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. It makes for exciting reading. Go and have a read through the lineage. at one time. While you might think that Messiah's family tree would be one of those magnificent trees I just talked about, taking a closer look, I think you'll notice that it's pretty mangled. Or we could make up a word and say mangulated, whatever. It probably looks like my tree. Maybe it looks like your tree. Yet God used each of those imperfect people in the lineage of Jesus to bring about his perfect plan. And he made everything beautiful in its time, in his time. And this tells us something incredible about God's character and his approach to us, and that's what I want to speak on briefly today. The first thing is this, and I think we all know it, but God's people are imperfect. God's people are imperfect. None of us are perfect. The Bible teaches us that. We're born into sin. We make bad choices. We say things we shouldn't say, things that we perhaps don't mean, and regret it afterwards. But see, the genealogy of Jesus is filled with individuals who had significant flaws and failures. I mean, think about it. Let's touch on a few. Rahab, the book of Joshua says, "So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there." You know, she wasn't the purest of people, but she's in the lineage of Jesus. What about Ruth? The Bible describes Ruth as Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead. Well, that's encouraging. I really want to meet her. You know, at this time, a widow's only hope for security would be her son's ability to provide for her. However, Ruth has no children. She had no children. And on top of that, she was a widow from a despised nation. She's in the lineage of Jesus. What about David? You know, we know David as a man after God's own heart. What a hero of the faith, David. He's a shepherd. He's a giant killer. He's a king. But we also need to remember that he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. In fact, in the book of 1 Chronicles, we see God say, "But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight.'" That's David, a man after God's own heart. Wow. It gives hope to some of us, doesn't it? What about Solomon? David's son Solomon would become the king of Israel and be known as the wisest man who ever lived. However, he also turned away from God. It says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, "For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." We've heard how much of a problem David was. He was a man after God's own heart. But Solomon, he was worse. This is just four people listed in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And it reminds us that God's work is not limited to the perfect, which is great, because if it was, God would have no power. He'd do nothing if he was relying on perfect people, because none of us are perfect. It's good news, because according to James 3 verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things." We all do. All means all, not some select group, or, you know, these people and not those people. We all stumble in many things. "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." And there's no one like that except Jesus. He was the only perfect man to walk the planet. Now, speaking of Jesus' family tree, James is in there. And he was Jesus' half-brother. So James knew what a perfect person looked like, because he saw it up close and personal. Yet he also knows perfection is impossible for mere mortals like us. An older, wiser James literally says we all stumble in many ways. James says that. The Apostle Paul would drive that point home when he wrote to the believers in Rome. It said, "For all have sinned." Many of us know that scripture in Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Well, here's the great news, because it's sounding a bit depressing at the start, isn't it? But here's the great news. God isn't waiting for you to get your act together before he can use you. He's not looking for perfection. You know, some people say, oh, I just want to get that area of my life right and then I'll get to church and get involved. I just want to fix that and then I'll serve the Lord. Well, that's not God's heart for you. He's actually just looking for willingness. If you're willing to be used by God, he will use you. Just like he worked through the flawed individuals in Jesus' lineage, he wants to work through you and he wants to work through me. And he wants to make everything beautiful in his time. So that which looks ugly now, that which looks broken, hurt, lost, he can make beautiful in its time. Do you believe that this morning? Because that's a word for you. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, Pastor Jeremy, you don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the brokenness I've felt, the things I've experienced. God could not possibly use me. That was a word for you, that God is just looking for a willing heart, not a perfect heart, not a heart that's completely right with him. He can work with you on the journey. You can lead people to know him even when you're still on the journey. God can use you and make that which doesn't look great, he makes it beautiful in its time. All God's people are imperfect. Even after we come to Christ, the difference is that we know that our sin is dealt with and it's finished and there's no condemnation for those who love Jesus. And so we know we can walk in our imperfection knowing that he perfects us. His righteousness, his grace comes into our hearts and we are forgiven for our sin. So God's people are imperfect. God's plan is redemption. He wants to redeem you. Like a coupon. When you go to a place and you've got 2-for-1 and you redeem your coupon, Jesus redeems us by the power of his blood and the sacrifice he made on the cross. And Ian spoke so well of it today, that Jesus gave his life for you and for me, and he redeems us because of that. Each person in Jesus' lineage has a story of redemption. You know, God took people from diverse backgrounds, kind of sounds like this room, and he transforms their stories into a beautiful narrative of hope. Remember Rahab we talked about? Well, James 2:25 says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? She actually helped people and was part of God's plan woven through time. Despite her situation of being from a despised nation, Ruth said to her Israelite mother-in-law, your people will be my people and your God, my God. I haven't got that one there. That's the next scripture, but we'll get there in a minute. But that's what Ruth said. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. There's a story of redemption. She's from a hopeless nation. She doesn't have any sons or daughters. And doesn't have a husband, but surrenders her life to God. David is still known as the greatest king of Israel and wrote many of the Psalms that we read today. And likewise, Solomon built the first temple and credited with 2 books of the Bible. So I think they turned out all right in the end. You know, God doesn't grade us by our faults. Somebody's got to hear that today. He's not looking across this room going, oh, that person's kind of bad. And then that person, well, they're really bad. And oh, that one, they're shocking. Forget about them. He's not looking at you like that. He doesn't grade you by your faults. He guides us by our faith. Faith in him. Faith that he's at work when we don't feel it or see it. He has always had a plan to provide redemption through grace for all. And Paul would explain that reason Jesus came was to accomplish God's great plan of redemption. And that's where the scripture comes in from Titus 2:14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Everyone say every. When it says every, does that mean everything? Or does that mean, oh, but just not those one or two things? No, it says he will redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Remember that whole imperfect point that I was addressing just a few minutes ago and throughout this message? Well, our imperfections are actually a part of God's perfect plan. We read that in Romans 3:23, it says, all of sin. But the next verse, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, the lineage of Jesus isn't about showcasing a perfect bloodline, not at all. It's about demonstrating God's grace, his ability to redeem, and his commitment to his promises. That's what this is showing. No matter your past, no matter what you've done, what choices you've made, how you've lived your life to this point, God can redeem your story.
Yes.
His grace is powerful. Yes. Powerful enough to turn your mistakes into a testimony of his goodness. He's desperate to be at work in your life to redeem you so that he can be glorified. That's what it's all about. He wants to make everything beautiful in his time. We'd love it in our time, wouldn't we? We started with the message in this series, wait and patience and all that kind of stuff. Who loves that? Gotta wait 400 years to hear from God. Oh my gosh. That just doesn't wash in today's culture, does it? I want to know yesterday. But God wants to redeem your story and he wants to make it look beautiful in his time. God's people are imperfect. And God's plan for those people is redemption. And here's my favorite for today. If this is the only one you remember, God's promises are unshakable. It doesn't matter how difficult life gets for you. If it's in his word, if it's a promise in the Bible, it's a promise for you, and it is unshakable. Might not feel it at the time. Might still struggle with it in the aftermath, whatever's happened in your life. But I'm telling you, he's not a liar. God is not a man that he would lie. His word is full of truth. And his promises are unshakable. The lineage of Jesus shows that God is faithful to his promises across all generations. And despite the ups and downs of those in Jesus' family tree, God's plan for salvation remains intact for you and for me. And this lineage is a testament to God's unwavering commitment to humanity. Long before Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, God had made a promise to Abraham, and this was the promise in Genesis 22:18. In your seed, all the nations. Everybody say all. Again, that means everyone. All nations. Not, oh, just the Nevans. We're jealous because you have all that. No. Not just the Ashkenazis. Not just the Solomons. All of us. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. God made a promise to an imperfect person in Jesus' lineage. This promise was a part of God's plan. What we need to keep in mind is that God is going to keep his promise. You might wait your whole life. You might not even see it happen in your lifetime. I pray you do. But if you don't, does it mean God's not at work? Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it. Here's the thing, God will keep his promise no matter what. No matter what. His promises are unshakable. His promise to make everything beautiful in his time, no matter what. On top of that, in spite of our imperfections, God allows us to benefit from his great promises. Aren't we blessed that we can benefit from God's promises over our lives? Galatians 3:29, and if you are Christ's, if you belong to him, you've accepted him, you believe in him, you live your life for him, you are committed to Jesus, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow, Galatians 3:29. Jesus' family tree is a reminder that God's plan is bigger than our mistakes and stronger, much stronger than our weaknesses. And when you feel uncertain or lost, remember that God is faithful. Hold on to that promise. His promises endure, and he is working out his plan in your life, just as he did through the generations leading up to the coming of Jesus. He wants to make everything beautiful in his time. God's people are imperfect. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We're all, every day, doing, saying, thinking things perhaps that we shouldn't. But there's this incredible plan of redemption. God's plan is redemption. He wants to redeem you and me because of what he did at the cross. And his promises are unshakable. So here's the encouragement from today. Remember, God's promises are unshakable. Claim it over your life. Have faith in a faithful God. That's what I'm asking you to do today. He is faithful, and we are to have faith in him. The next time you feel disqualified, maybe that's now. Maybe you feel that you're disqualified from all of this because of what you've done or how you've lived or what you've said or what your past is or, you know, your shortcomings. I mean, remember Jesus' family tree, full of misfits and problem people and sinful people and imperfect people. It's not about where you've been or what you've done. That's irrelevant in God's eyes. It's about where God is taking you and what he wants to do through you. And not only that, but the Lord will hold on to you no matter what your struggles are, no matter what your weaknesses are. And one day, he will turn you from imperfect to perfect. Who will also confirm you to the end? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 to 9. That you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, this is just the beauty of the gospel. It's so beautiful. It's not about perfect people, but it's about a perfect Savior. And Jesus didn't come from a line of flawless individuals and perfection. But he came to make flawed individuals like all of us become perfect in his time, beautiful in his time. That's the power of God's love in your life. And that's the message at the heart of Jesus' lineage, that he will make everything beautiful in his time. That's his plan for you. Now, life's a journey. Picture a line going from here to here. And some of us are at the very beginning and we're still trying to figure this God thing out and what's it like living for Jesus and what does that mean actually for me and how does that unfold in my life? And then we've got the other end where we've been a Christian since the days of Noah and, you know, we've read everything and done it and we know it all and maybe we're needing a fresh revelation of who Jesus is because you don't ever want to be that person that says, oh, I know all of that. I might not have taught you anything new today, but God can bring fresh revelation in a heartbeat. And that's got to be the desire of your heart. So whether you're at this end of the spectrum where you're so open to learn because you don't really know much yet, or you're at this end of the spectrum and you think you know it all, or maybe you're in the middle and you've hit a valley and life's really challenging right now and your faith is being challenged, you know, like Caroline with her car accident. She's on a journey. And praise God, she testified today, but it's a journey. And there's going to come days of when she may struggle in her mind. And again, I'm not speaking that over her. I'm being very real because I've been through a car accident and I shouldn't be here either. 2014, I was driving out of Billawheeler halfway between there and Gladstone on the dodgy Dawson Highway, if you've ever driven on it. And a driver coming towards me fell asleep at the wheel. And we had 100k an hour impact because I could either go to the left where it was a drop-off and I would have tumbled and probably died, or I went on their side, because they were on my side of the road, they'd fallen asleep. I was driving a plastic car, Mazda CX-5, plastic car, and they were driving a whole Colorado U with a bull bar on the front and a pool table in the back. So I got smashed, and I walked out of that accident, no broken bones either, and you know, whiplash bruises, and just the mental journey that I had to go on, and God brought healing to my life. But maybe you're on that journey right now, not necessarily a car accident, but maybe you're struggling mentally with the things of God, or there's challenges coming in different forms, and you're struggling, and you're halfway, you're not at the start, you're not at the end, but you're midway, and you're like, God, what are you doing? I really need you to speak to me. Well, I'm just believing today that you would have a fresh revelation that God wants to make everything beautiful in your life in his time. Can you believe that with me today?
Yes.
Now, every Christmas, my daughter and I, since we've been here, she was four the very first Christmas we were here in Stanthorpe, and today she's now 15. And we do like a little, just a sing-song together. It's like become a bit of a Christmas tradition for our family. And every year, she'll ask me, oh, what are we singing this year, Daddy? And then I have to come up with something different because I don't want to just keep doing the same thing all the time. So we've got a song that we want to sing. So come on, give her a hand. We're going to sing it today. We're going to sing it on Christmas Eve together as well. And I'm going to get out my little doodad here that's going to work for me. And I'm going to put this out of the way so sort of see us. I need to press a few buttons to make this happen. Let me just make sure. Yeah, that's the next one. All right, so I'm on track. Everything's going to work. Now, here's the other challenge that I have every year, is that when I look at my daughter and they're singing, I cry. Because I'm a big softie, all right? So don't think I'm, like, ignoring her because I'm doing this and singing to you. Sorry, all of you over there, but Melody can sing to you, and I'm going to sing to you. Because I promise you if I turn around, I'll lose my voice or something. You know, you get that quivery thing going on. I'm going to try. Anyway, can we get maybe the lights, create a bit of, Christmas. And hopefully this works in Jesus' name, because it's all about timing. Makes everything beautiful. You probably picked up on that theme throughout my message, that we're all on a journey and wherever you find yourself on that journey, God's heart for you is to make whatever it is you're going through beautiful. In its time, in your time, His time, He'll make everything beautiful. And you'll get to that point where it all just makes sense. We all say this, hindsight's a beautiful thing. When you look back and you go, okay, I can see God work there, there, there. I was born 6 weeks premature. Do I have any other preemie buddies in here? You know, someone was preemie. Who was you? Was it you too? Yeah, she's saying yes for you. 6 weeks preemie. So I was like, little tiny petite. You could put me in your pocket, take you home, take me home. That's how little I was, so small. I was born with a collapsed lung. I had a hernia. I had severe lack of calcium. And the doctors pronounced over my life that I would be a runt, like the small one in the class. Do I look like a runt? Not really. But you know, the world had a certain message that they tried to speak over me, and God had other plans and other ideas. He does the same thing for each and every one of us. He takes us, plucks us from what we might call obscurity and worthlessness and no purpose in our life, but takes us to this place of everything becoming beautiful in its time, that God is glorified in and through our life. I wasn't born into a Christian family. 6 weeks preemie and all that stuff going on. My parents weren't religious, but you know what? I was their firstborn, and Dad's freaking out enough that he opens the drawer, and what do you normally find in the top drawer in a hospital? I don't know if you still do, but you know what I'm talking about. The Gideon Bible.
Yeah.
You're in the hotels still,
yeah,
often as well. And he opens the Bible, and he's not a religious person, and it opens at what book? What's my name? I've given you the clues. I'm Jeremy. So he opens at Jeremiah. And so my name is Jeremy because my dad, in his desperate time of need, didn't know what to do and just opened the Bible and he didn't know what he was doing. But he saw Jeremiah. Oh, that's a pretty good name. We'll make it Jeremy. God had plans for my life. He knew I'd be standing here today to share Jesus with you. Otherwise, I would have got taken out in 2014, back when I had my car accident. But I'm still here. Sorry about that. Some of you, you all excited about it? I'm still here. Caroline's still here. Freddie's still here. All of us that have gone through journeys that you know, are perhaps leaving some scars, but the scars are your testimony. You said it so well. Because it glorifies our God. I'm still here because of Him. So wherever you are on that journey, from start to finish, I just want to pray for people in the building today that you would have an absolute revelation that God is at work in your life, even though it might not feel like it, even though you may not see it. He's making you beautiful in His time, and our job is simply to continue to walk by faith and trust Him. So if you want prayer this morning, you just want your faith to rise, to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've said a bunch of words, and I pray you've enjoyed it and it's been a blessing, but it's not about that. It's now about the Holy Spirit doing the work in each and every one of you. Would you just stand to your feet where you are? I'm just going to pray for you, that God would encourage you in your journey. Who's going to be the first? Because it takes one and then it's like God knows everyone. There we go. It's the same in every church. Oh, don't want to get shy. Hey, this is family. Remember, welcome home. This is family today. If you need encouraging because your faith is struggling, maybe it's because of the events of the earthquake and things, God wants to encourage you today. Come on. Don't be shy. Our islanders can be shy, but don't be shy. Not in God's presence, not in God's house. Your family today and every day. So if someone's standing near you, could you just lay your hands on them if they're okay with it? It should be alright. That's the kind of church we are. We believe in some impartation when the Holy Spirit is at work, when we lay hands on one another. Let's just make sure everyone has a hand laid on them. That would be great. Thanks, everyone. And church, if you're not near someone, just reach your hands towards someone. Holy Spirit's at work right now. And he's going to do something. Something's going to shift even just today. I'm believing and declaring something is going to shift in your life today because of the Holy Spirit at work. It's going to bring you fresh revelation that God is in control. He sees the difficult time you've gone through or are going through, and he knows the deepest hurt feelings in your heart. But today, like a chain breaking or a weight lifting, God is going to do something incredibly powerful in just a moment as we pray. And you're going to leave here a different, changed person. Not because of anything I've done today, but because the Holy Spirit has touched each and every one of you. Because God will get the glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Holy Spirit, move in power. We pray, Father God, for every person standing that's perhaps struggling in their faith or challenged at this time. And Christmas is meant to be this happy, joyful time, but right now there's a challenge. Right now there's a struggle. It's almost like there's a tug of war battle going on. But God, we know who wins. We know who has the victory, and his name is Jesus. So I speak of victory over every circumstance, victory over every challenge, victory over every problem. The name of Jesus will rule and reign far above that which you're facing now, because it is the name above every name. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. So we speak Jesus over every situation right now, over every heart and over every life, and that the power of the Holy Spirit would come like a flood, like a wind right now, and touch each person, encouraging them, Lord, that they would know that you are in the business of making things beautiful in your time. So Holy Spirit, do the work. Holy Spirit, lift the head, mend the heart, encourage the faith. Do what only you can do. And we surrender to you now, Lord. We leave our challenge here at the altar at your feet, Jesus. And we say, come and have your way in my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my soul today. In Jesus' name. I don't know what key we're in, but can we sing that? Lord, I give you my heart. If you know it, sing. Give me my soul. I live for you and you alone. Christmas this week, the world is awake to your message more than ever at this time of year. So I pray for the believers in the room, Lord, that you would just lead and guide, open the doors, as Caroline's even encouraged us today, get the message out there of our story, so that you may be glorified and that people may come to know Jesus in a powerful way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're in the room, before we finish up, I do this every meeting, and it doesn't matter if everyone's given their life to Jesus, that's awesome. But if you're in the room and you haven't made that decision, that solid declaration in your heart that you want to live for Him, we just sung it, but we need to mean it from our heart. We need to make a commitment to be led by Jesus. The only way you can be led by someone is if you surrender to them. And when it comes to believing in Jesus, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, declare that He is your Lord, that you're no longer bound by the things of this world, that you're no longer bound by your past and your mistakes and your faults and all the things we've talked about today that's in the lineage of Jesus, but that you want to cash in the redemption today. You want to be redeemed by Jesus, because He's the Redeemer. Not me, not the prayer we're about to pray. No one else can do this. Only Jesus can redeem you. If you want to surrender your life to Him today, what an amazing time, the Sunday before Christmas, to make that declaration that you want to live for Jesus. If that's you and you haven't done that before, or maybe you've committed your life to Him, you want to make a fresh start because you've fallen away, today is your day for redemption. I'm cashing in the coupon with you, okay? If that's you, why don't you just lift up your hand and I'm going to pray with you right now that Jesus would be your Lord and your Savior from this day forward. If that's you and you need Jesus, yeah, I see that here. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Anyone else? Just show me your hand so I can see you, so I know who I'm praying for. Awesome. Hey, church, we're going to pray this together. We all need to be redeemed every single day. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, thank you that you came, that you died, that you paid the price for my sin, so that I could live a free life, no more condemnation, no more living in my sin, that I know that I'm forgiven because of the blood you shed on the cross, because of the wounds that were inflicted upon you, I can be free. I know that you conquered sin and death. I know that you rose from the grave. I know that you're victorious. And because you're victorious, I'm victorious. And you are making me beautiful in your time. And so from this day forward, I choose to live for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Nothing excites the Lord more than someone surrendering their life to Him. It's beautiful.